Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Well, it's not Saturday. It must be Friday for everybody else in the world except for me because I go back to work tomorrow.
So then it's Sunday for you.
It is Sunday for me.
Ah.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know, though. I never had any problem when my days off were different than weekends. I know one year, however, I had Wednesday and Thursday off, and that year every holiday fell on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And since I was single, I worked the holidays so that other people could be with their families. I'm such a nice guy.
You are. Would you like to come over and take my Thursday off? Anyways, enough of the whining. Welcome, people. It is Friday. There is a break of sunshine out here in old wet Oregon as it's been raining very hard and ice on the cars, and I think
actually we're just finally getting to Oregon weather. We've not had Oregon weather for years. When I first decided to move here, I looked up the information on the internet about average rainfall and all that thing, and average rainfall is supposed to be like 36 inches a month here, and we've only been getting like 12.
Yeah, we measure, in Oregon, we measure rainfall in the feet.
Actually, I came from Aberdeen, Washington, and there you literally measure it in feet. Their average rainfall a year is 150 inches. 150 inches. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my God.
Or Aberdeen and Hoquiam have a festival every year. The festival, I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's kind of like called the Festival of the Rain. And it's like Cottage Grove and Eugene. They're like 10 or 15 miles apart, and they have a big contest every year as to who gets the most rain.
Yeah, the celebration of rust.
Yeah. Well, you don't rust, things don't rust over there because you know better than to leave them unpainted or uncovered because. Wow, it does rain. But
quick joke for you. I probably told you this one before off air, but you know how you tell the difference between an Oregonian and a Californian?
No.
By the umbrella.
Do you realize that Oregonians and Washingtonians, whatever they are,
Washingtonians.
Why they buy more sunglasses?
No.
You'd think people in California would buy more sunglasses, but we don't use them enough, and we misplace them and have to go out and buy another one. So we're constantly buying sunglasses. We buy more sunglasses than anybody.
The sunglass capital of the world.
Yeah, it is. I've got like 5 pair of sunglasses laying around in here. And of course, I was selling them, so these are just leftover ones.
Well, anyways, it is Friday, and again, welcome to the show. We have a guest in the chat room already. Welcome.
Wow.
And if you'd like to join our show, 646-721-9887, get those phone numbers out there real quick. This is our pre-election show, and it's been quite an election season, actually, and especially here in Oregon. It's been kind of fun listening to the hate ads or the smear ads, as you might want to call them. And as I kind of joked that Oregon being green, not only just for the massive amount of rain, but also recycling, and this year we're recycling a lot of our old candidates that are coming out of retirement and should probably stay there, and one of them is, of course, for the governor's race here. We're hopefully going to retire Governor Ted Taxson-Gouge, and well, Kulongoski is running in his place. He was a two-term.
No, Kitzhomer.
Kitzhomer, excuse me. I get the two mixed up.
Yeah, I know. You constantly say Kulongoski, and he's the one leaving.
Hopefully, yeah. Kitzhomer ran for two terms before Taxson-Gouge and.
Well, he won. He ran. He was in office for two terms.
Right. He was in office for two terms, and what's funny is that. President Obama came down here recently and was supporting the Democrats, which is also part of our topic today. And one of his bullet points was about not bringing in or getting away from the old ways and bringing in the new. Well, we're recycling one of our old governors who's trying to get back into his old job again. And so I guess in a way the president says, without meaning to, is don't vote for this guy because he's part of the old problem.
Oh, if he meant to, he'd say it.
Now, I don't think he really meant it that way, but that's kind of...
We also recycled something else, a huge amount of cash.
Yeah. So we got a choice between a recycled governor and an athlete on that side of the aisle.
An athlete?
Chris Dudley.
Oh, I don't know anything about him to speak of. I had already decided I wasn't going to vote for him, so I just set him aside.
So,
who you're going to vote for?
What's that?
Is he who you're going to vote for?
Well, I ain't going to vote for the other guy. I can't remember his name.
Kitzhomer.
Kitzhomer.
Anybody named Dudley, I'm not ready for.
But at least that you can spell.
Well,
there should be a law that every candidate that's running should have a name that you can pronounce and spell.
That would eliminate a lot of them.
That would be.
Here's
one for you. Speaking of elections, and we'll get down to topics here in just a few minutes. Arizona. Again, about illegal immigration, you know, with their Senate Bill SB 1070. Part of their rules, I think this was passed about 2 years ago regarding elections, is that you have to show ID to prove you're a citizen so you can vote. The court ruled against that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that figures. Everybody's trying to, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 2 years for amnesty.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we've got to get down and get really for real with changing our government, our federal government especially, but all of our government. I mean, when you start digging and finding out how much money we're spending, just as wages or salaries or whatever you want to call them, it's gargantuan. It's gargantuan. I mean, I'll get into that in a minute because I've been digging to see how many people, and I'm talking about non-elected or what do they call them, bureaucrats or the there's another word too for them. I can't think of what it is, but. Employees are people who stay there year after year, and they don't make as much money as the governor or a senator or much, but they're pretty darn close to it. I mean, different agencies, for example, it's just ridiculous. I couldn't believe it how many people are involved in these agencies, even agencies that I've never heard of. The Legislative Administration Committee. I'd never heard of that. and they have 93 employees.
The what?
The Legislative Administration Committee.
The
Legislative Administration Committee. I have no idea what they do, but they have 40 employees, all of which make more than $26,000 a year. And some of them make $70,000 and $90,000 a year. That's...
What do you have to apply?
Well, you know, you've got to get in and get in one of these jobs. I mean, for example, in this administration committee, Shirley Ault is a human resources analyst. Cedar McMurrin,
human resources. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Cedar McMurrin is also a human resources analyst. Mary Rukowski is a human resources analyst, and Karen L. Hupp is. So there are five human resources analysts. And, for example, Shirley, the first one I mentioned, makes $58,000 a year. Now, that's not outrageous until you realize that there are five of them, and there doesn't mean. And she's not the most.
How many employees?
Five. Oh, there's 93 employees in this.
93.
Yeah.
And you got five.
And that's five of them.
And probably about another 5 or 10 managers and supervisors. And by the time you get through going through the whole scale, you've got about three employees.
No, these are all management. These are all executives.
It's all a manager?
There's no employees.
Well, that's why you need five human resource analysts, so they sit there and go, yep, we're human resources. I analyzed that.
Really? It's just, I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
The chief information officer, and in some instances, I find out that I'm in the wrong position, because one of the things I've always wanted to do is become an information officer and a CFO. But the chief information officer, of which there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the highest paid one of those gets $114,000 a year. The lowest paid number of one of those gets $99,000 a year.
What?
Yeah. Okay. But altogether, there's 38.7. Now, that's an average number because I rounded off all of these things and averaged them out. But there's $38.7 million just in this one committee. And there are hundreds of committees, hundreds of them. And it's just ridiculous, ridiculous. It's staggering. It really is. And my point is, as I've mentioned over and over again, one of the quickest and easiest ways of balancing the budget, or whatever you want to call it, but cutting back the budget enough that we can live on it, would be a 10% reduction across the board in salaries. That way we're not putting anybody out of a job. We're just cutting it back 10%. And we could even, say, make it above anybody that makes over $40,000. There are not very many people that make under $40,000 in any of these things. And if you make $40,000 a year and you're cut back $4,000, I can't imagine anybody who couldn't exist that way. And that would make a huge, just gargantuan difference in cost for the state, the city, the federal, the government.
Well, and I'd like to see, and this has been my bitch and moan, I'd like to see our representatives, you know, like the people in legislatures and Congress, to make about $50,000 average or down more towards their people they represent. So when they sit there and go, well, we need to raise taxes to pay for this, and we're going to increase another 15%, and somebody else in there would probably go, what? I can't afford that.
Do you know how much they make?
Go ahead and tell me.
$170,000.
Okay.
And now, but here's the thing. that's not even the bad part. And when you look at that, that's $170,000 times, let's say it's representatives, which make about $150,000, but that's times 400 senators, it's times 100, so that's 500 people. So you're talking about not a huge amount of money. Here's where the money comes in. That's the fact that every senator, for example, has a $5 million budget for employees.
Every senator?
Every senator. 100 senators have a $5 million. That's $500 million. That's $500 million. Now,
excellent job.
The representatives, of course, don't have that much money. They have $1 million. They have $1 million, and so it's still $500 million. So there's $1 billion between those two organizations, just in salaries.
Okay, I got a question for you then. All right, so with all those staffers on staff, then, like with Obamacare, didn't any of them read the bill?
Well, we don't know if the staffers did. We just know that the people who count didn't.
Yeah.
They may have asked about it. See, that is one of the things. I wouldn't even mind if they had one of their staff sit down and spend a couple of days reading that bill and understanding it so that they could interpret it, I guess you might say, or at least explain it. I don't know about interpret it, but explain it, let's say, to the senator. But they didn't even have them do that. I mean, they just said, oh, I didn't read it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just insane. What are they doing in there? What are they doing? What else do they have to do? Again.
Well, here's what's really funny is that, for example, and they're crying foul now, that there's a provision in the Obamacare that calls for all businesses to file 1099 forms with the IRS for all transactions with other businesses over $600.
Hmm.
And that's inside the healthcare bill. And some of the senators are going, what? Wait a minute, I didn't know that was in there. If you would have read it, you would have known.
That's right, that's right. That's going to bring all business to a screeching halt.
Exactly.
Because you can't afford to spend that much time on paperwork on something over 600. That's just insane.
Well, imagine, you're a truck driver.
Yeah.
You could easily run up a $600 fuel bill on each fill-up.
Yeah.
Every time you go buy supplies, you got to send that company a 1099.
Yeah.
Yeah, the paperwork, you're going to have to hire extra personnel. It's just going to be ludicrous.
Yeah.
And I think the purpose of it was just to kind of crack down on some people that are skirting under the table or, you know, and to kind of be sure by paying their, quote, fair share, unquote. But no, this is really going to be – it's going to increase expenses to businesses. But the whole point was is that if some of that staff you were just talking about would have given them bullet points of, okay, Senator, this is what's kind of like in the bill here, and, you know, I read this, and you might want to kind of look it over before you vote in favor of it just to make sure this is what you really want to do. I don't have time to do that.
But, you see, that's what's wrong with – that's what the – our population is upset about that. It's what 90% of the people are upset because we're not voting for a specific thing. We're voting Democrat and Republican. So if the Republicans don't like it, the Democrats vote for it. They don't read it. They don't pay any attention to what it is. If it's something the Republicans don't like, the Democrats vote for it, and vice versa. If it's something the Democrats like, the Republicans vote against it. So it's just ridiculous. We're not working for the people. We're working for each other and for and against the president, and it's just ridiculous. Obama had this big thing about being, you know, voting and doing things across the line, across the board, to, between Republicans and Democrats. And they've just absolutely refused to let him do it. And I don't think he's working very hard at doing it, but they're refusing to let him do it.
Well, I think, personally, I think we're at a point we need to really think our two-party system, because...
I agree, and ready or not, I think we are. We're becoming a three-party system. The independents are becoming a whole party. They're, whether you want to call them the Tea Party or what you want to call them, but they're actually independents, and they're voting independent, and we're going to have a separate independent party, so it's going to be a three-party system.
I think you're right, because if you follow the news... I mean, like, for one thing, well, according to the news, Democrats are running scared, but even some of the Republicans are, even some that the GOP that think that, oh, well, you know, I'm just an easy in. I've been here for 14 years or 14
wrong,
years, and there's no way that this person can get in here. Like, I can't remember her name. I think it's Chris O'Donnell. She's not experienced. She doesn't have this, doesn't have like that, and... She got elected, and this guy is crying foul. But it's like, take a clue, guy. If you are listening to the people, you would have got in. But the only reason you hadn't, because most people are being it's apathy. They don't care. They vote for the lesser two evils. But now, this year, people are mad.
That's right. That's right. There's two things going on. If you watch, and you don't even have to watch very carefully, what Obama is doing, he's taking over. The federal government is always right, and the people are always wrong, or usually wrong. So we're going to have a country that is totally, totally ruled by the federal government, and that's totally wrong. That's totally opposite to what our founding fathers had in mind.
Uh-huh.
And the problem with this is that for years, the Republicans always said they were for smaller government, and that was one of their big big propaganda points, is to give the government back to the people. But now we aren't even saying that. We're just voting against everything Obama does. I mean, it's no longer thing. You don't have to think about what you're doing. You just do it because you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. And that's one of the things that we've got to get out of there. And that's what we've got to, you know, this person who has sat there for years and years and years and is still doing this. He's sat there for years and years and years, but now he's voting Democratic or Republican just because it is.
Right.
They've got to be replaced. And that's everybody.
I agree. I mean, the focus is not to be on party lines anymore. Well, you know, we're going to do this because Republican. It's got to be on the issues. And that's kind of what we're kind of saying. And
that's
why
right.
You're hearing a lot of, like, Ray Stevens, you know, vote the bums out.
Yeah.
It's just like and I feel the same way. It's just clear house, clean house. Even if you like them, get them all out of there. Send a message that we are your employers. You are there to represent us, not the other way around. You know, we're tired of
there's a couple of problems with this. And one of those is one of the things that the senators and representatives are doing that's taking most of their time is fundraising. Everybody's out there fundraising. We have got to have campaign reform. Somehow or another, we've got to change how much money people are allowed to spend on campaign expenses. And I've got an answer, but I haven't got the answer. And there are lots of things to think of, but we can't have our people, our representatives and our senators, and they're spending all their time trying to make money.
Yeah. Well, and also trying to please everybody too. Like, I got a quick little sound bite here. Let me get it queued up here. One frustrated representative.
But I've been straight with the people in this district. This is a difficult district to represent. I got university towns and enviros throwing sawdust at me in parades up in Eugene. And then I come down here and I got people saying, what's wrong with you? Why aren't we doing more in our forests? You're just one of them environmentalists. I said, well, it's just up in Eugene and they're throwing sawdust at me and call me a timber beast. I have tried to find a middle ground.
Yeah, he was a little frustrated.
Yeah, and I understand that too, because you can't win in this thing. But you have got to sit down and analyze it, and you've got to vote for things, not just because somebody's throwing things at you. You got to sit down and make up your mind what you think is the appropriate thing to vote on or to back. And nobody's doing that. They're just reacting, not acting.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, that was Peter DeFazio on the October 18th Well, all three candidates of the Democratic side was, well, DeFazio, Green Party candidate Mike Weinstein, and Art Robinson.
You see, interestingly enough, I have a tendency, I would be for DeFazio. And the only reason I would be that way is because I have met the man in person many times. When I used to work at the KNND radio station, he came in once a month and did a broadcast with us. And I've had a chance to sit down and talk to him personally. And he is one of the few people, if you bring something up to talk about, a bill or a system or a company or whatever, he knows. He has paid enough attention to read about them or to know about the companies and know about the issues. And he can talk to you intelligently. And I don't know if...
Well, I agree. He's a very intelligent person, and I've always supported him. But I've been following him on this issue of Obamacare, which he voted in favor of, and I have still yet to hear him answer the question, is how the hell are we going to pay for it in 2014 when we're all going to be mandated to have health care?
You know, I don't think anybody believes that's going to happen. I believe that they feel it's going to be repealed or changed or something before that time.
But if it doesn't,
then at that time it will be.
Yeah.
Because we can't do that. We as citizens can't handle all that.
No,
I mean, that's just. And I don't know of anybody who can. The people making big bucks will say they can't because they don't want to. Yeah. And the people who are like you and me can't, literally.
Yeah.
So
I depend on my little refund that I get every year to pay my property taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, we've got 30 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887 if you'd like to chime in. We'd love to hear from you, and also your opinion about the upcoming elections, who your favorite candidate is, if you'd like to share, or any other comments that you may have. And speaking of candidates, as we were promoting on the main show page, you know, President Obama has been going around campaigning for his Democratic comrades, and just the cost of his visit alone, like, for example, up in Portland, just for security is around $150,000, and that's just for the security alone. Cliff, I believe you have some other figures regarding that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, okay, if you put everything together, I'm just going to say it outright, right up front, and stun everyone. Each one of these weekend visits that he makes to different states costs $250 million, with a B, $250 million. It costs, for example, $58,000-some-odd an hour just to fly Air Force One.
We've got
a couple other planes that go. We've got to move the vehicles because nobody has bulletproof vehicles that you can just rent. That's not an easy thing.
No.
It's $250 million for each one of these weekend visits, regardless of what it's for. Now, I can understand some visits are important, but he's out almost every weekend going somewhere for someone. And, of course, lately it's always been campaign related, and the campaign is not repaying that. Nobody's repaying that. We are paying for that. So that's $1 billion a month. You ready for that? $1 billion a month for the last 5 or 6 months that we have spent. So let's say $6 billion. A lot of things can be paid for with that $6 billion.
Yeah.
So something's got to change. The campaign has got to pay for that, or we've got to stop sending them out there. Somehow or another, something has got to change, because these are costs that aren't even reported on, or aren't even mentioned. I had to look hard to find some of this information. It just...
Well, like a lot of people don't know, when the president goes somewhere, I mean, it's common knowledge that he goes on Air Force One, but not too many people know that, you know, his limousines and the other vehicles, you know, they're transported on a C-17 transport, which costs a lot of money to begin with. And,
well, not only that, but when you start figuring in, could we pay for the press, ready or not, to go with him, and we also pay for the FBI to go with him. And you put all these people together, they don't fit on Air Force One. They have Air Force Two and Three that go with you as well. And each of these things costs the same amount of money to fly one of those big airplanes, regardless of who's on it.
Oh, so, and on a quick side note here, the president's limo, the Cadillac,
yeah,
made by GM.
Well, of course, we own GM. I mean, we do. The federal government owns 60% of GM, and which is another thing that I can't believe that the federal government has taken over as much as it has. It's got to change.
Anyways, as you were saying, that on the visit, it's over $1 billion. So, for example, going from this part of his route, which was like Portland then to Seattle, you're saying it was like $1 billion for each stop?
No. It's $1 billion a month. And that's assuming he goes on four stops a month. Uh-huh. But he didn't go from Portland to Seattle. He had waited a week in the middle. So it was from Washington, D.C. to Seattle and Washington, D.C. to Portland. So it's $250 million to each one of these places that he goes. And he keeps going back. And he has to do that because he is still the president, and he actually does have to do some real business for the country.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, it's not much at this point, but he's got to do something. So he does have to go back to Washington, D.C. So it's not that like you could say he goes from Portland to Seattle and just that little trip there. It isn't. They fly everybody back and forth and all over the place. And it gets absurdly expensive. And
what do you think is the job of the president, to go out and campaign for?
Absolutely not. If that was the case, then he would have to campaign for everybody, and then you've got virtually nothing. If you're campaigning for Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, then you're not campaigning. You may as well stay home. I mean, there are other ways around this, but we've got to find a different way of financing it. And if you're going to go out and campaign for somebody, then campaign is the key word. The campaign finance committee should be paying for it, not us as taxpayers. Uh-huh. Ultimately, we're paying for the campaign itself, but some people are spending more. We've got to change the system, and we've got to change, as I say, campaign finance is the biggest thing. We've got to change that. But the problem is, you can't change how much it costs for the president to visit a city. There's no way to change that, because even though we send out all of these FBI agents to protect him, they still say it's costing between $100,000 and $150,000 extra dollars for police security for the president and his motorcade. Well,
why not use technology. I mean, like at the thing was on the 2008 elections, where CNN used a 3D holograph that they're demonstrating. You know, the president doesn't even have to leave the White House, and he could show up in Portland in a telepresence and, you know, spend a couple hundred thousand versus...
Quarter of a billion. Yeah. A couple of hundred thousand instead of a couple of billion. I agree, and that's the kind of thing that's going to be changing, but we've got to change it right away. We've got to stop doing this thing. There's got to be ways of supporting someone without flying out here. See, the thing is, when they fly out here, they usually go to a dinner of some sort and charge $10,000 a plate and make millions of dollars. And that's why they do that, is because they want to physically meet the president.
Yeah.
But that money goes to the campaign. It doesn't go to pay for him coming out here. So we lose both ways.
We're paying for him, Democrats and Republicans, independents and all. We're paying for him to come out and support the Democrats.
Right. And it's not like they don't make money. They do make money, but it's given away to the Democratic campaign.
So we're subsidizing the Democratic campaign, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We don't have money. It's kind of like what goes on here in Oregon, folks. Is, you know, we hear a lot of whining. We don't have money for public services. We don't have money for schools. We don't have money for this, but we got millions of dollars for some stupid, unrecognizable art piece.
Yeah.
Stick up in the middle of nowhere.
Well, you know, the thing that gets to me, when you sit down and think about it, let's say there is a $1 million piece of art that we paid for. That's just a drop in the bucket. The budget for the state of Oregon is $60 billion a year. $60 billion. So paying $100,000 or even $1 million for a piece of art is a little expensive, but that's not the kind of thing we've got to worry about. And we also can't depend on or can't make the schools the scapegoat or the police department or any of these things. They do that. The politicians do that to make us believe that it's important. If we would just take a 10% cut on everybody's salary, spreading it out to all the people and not just the elected people, there are thousands upon thousands of people, bureaucrats, that were not elected, but still make good money. And a 10% cut in every one of these would solve all of our problems.
Now, would you take that 10% over a certain amount? Like, if somebody's working for a $10 an hour job for the government, you don't want to take 10% off their table. That's not what you're saying, is it?
That's true. I would say anything over $40,000 a year.
Over the medium average.
Pardon?
Over the medium average.
Well, the medium average is higher than that. It's probably about 70,000 or 80,000. So, no.
The average is the area?
For federal employees or state employees, yeah.
I want a state job.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody does. Everybody does. And unfortunately, we're in the process of giving almost everybody a state job or a federal job. We've got more federal and state employees now than we do anybody else.
Cool.
And
I'd like to advertise for a, you know, any state government out there want to hire internet talk show host for $50,000 plus a year. Give us a call, 646-721-9887.
Well, there are two of us here ready.
That's right.
Two of us. Okay, yeah, for example, the cheaper jobs in this legislative administration committee that I told you about, the administrative support specialist makes $28,688 a year.
Uh-huh.
That's the cheapest one. The others make $40,548 a year. It's just ridiculous. $47,000, there's an energy technician. I'm not sure what an energy technician does, but he makes $47,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
James Breckenridge is his name, by the way. These are not just made-up people. I can give you their name and address and everything. There's a capital reference in the coordinator. I don't know what a capital reference coordinator does, but he makes $41,000 a year doing it. There's a chief financial officer. Now, a chief financial officer is a fairly important job in most instances. And in this particular case, that pays $99,000 a year. The information officer...
CFO is a pretty, like you say, is a pretty high position, too.
Well, it should be, yes. The chief financial officer, I mean, information officer, and, of course, there are five of those, and they're making $114,000 a year. So here's a clerical aide, a clerical, just an aide, not anybody important, just an aide, makes $30,540 a year. Now, $30,000 a year is not being overpaid. $30,000 a year in this day and age is just a living wage, basically.
Right.
But there's no way that it would hurt that person desperately to lose $3,000 a year, 10%. They could work their finances out to still get along with $3,000 a year or less, $27,000 instead of $30,000. And that 10% could make a huge difference if you're taking it from everybody, everybody.
Well, how about taking it a step further, not just on salaries, but also on non-essential expenses?
Well, I'm saying take it on everything, everything. The money we spend on things, and the money we, just everything. Because it would, in other words, in the budget for Oregon alone would be cut by $6 billion.
Yeah.
$6 billion. There are 50 states added up. And we're probably one of the smallest budgets that there is. I don't know about others. I should look up other states' budgets. But I'm sure that they're, most of them are higher than that. And so six times 50, six times, that's $300 billion right there that we're cutting every year just for the state budgets.
Yeah, and in fact, they're constantly still complaining that they don't have money to do what they need to do. And sitting in my mailbox right now, which I have been too chicken to go out and get it, is my property taxes for this year. And even though property values have gone down, the taxes have gone up. So if you hear a loud "what the hell," and it's not over the radio, you know I opened up my and it's
yeah.
Just asinine, especially since 65% of it goes to schools.
Well,
and for the first time since I've owned my house since 1990, I don't have the money to pay my taxes in full.
There's an awful lot of that going around. An awful lot of that going around.
Yeah, they were saying on the news a couple of weeks ago, locally here in Lane County in Oregon, that people that are delinquent on their property taxes are at a four-year high.
And do you realize how high that is? It's a gargantuan number. It's like 40%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge, huge number. And it's going to get worse.
It's
just going to get worse. And do you realize that people can come in, and depending how far behind you are, if you're a couple of years behind in your taxes, they can buy your house for the cost of your taxes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll buy it through a bankruptcy as well because, Bank of America, for example, is in trouble because they have been, if you missed one payment with them, they start the repossession process.
Well,
so they're in trouble with the federal government for
they're in trouble more for the fact that their forms are just jokes.
Yeah,
they put in there a blank space for the financing company, in other words, the bank or whoever did the financing, because all of these things have been sold so many times, nobody knows who the original lender was.
You're exactly right. And a quick little story I'll throw out there, because we declared bankruptcy about 6 months ago, and I exempted Bank of America, which is my mortgage holder. But as soon as they heard that I filed bankruptcy, my mortgage was designed to be an automatically deducted from my checking account, and that way it's always paid for. I just happened to notice after the due date that no money was taken out, and that's because they canceled the automatic deduction and I was not informed. After making a couple phone calls, I got it restarted, and 2 months later, after the bankruptcy settled, they canceled it again. I came the most I've ever been late since 1990, since I've owned my house, is 2 weeks, and that was because of them canceling the automatic deduction a second time.
And do you think that was an error?
They said I called and canceled it.
Oh, they just flat lied.
They lied to me. Or they want me to default.
Well, that's what I said. It's not an error. They want you to default so that they can take it back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what gets to me is why do the banks want all these pieces of property they're not going to get paid for? I mean, well, I know why, because then the federal government comes in and bails them out and gives them the money for it. That's obviously why. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Obama. Obama.
It's got to change, and it's going to change, and I think it's going to change. There's so much interest in this election, an off-year election, as they call it, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because we're going to change a lot of people. I don't know that we're going to change the House, we're going to make it Republican in the House or the Senate, but it doesn't make any difference. We're going to have a whole lot of people paying attention to what's going on for a change. And if they don't pay attention to what's going on, if you vote for somebody new into an office, please, please, please watch what they do. Watch what they do and how they do it. Because if they sit back and do the same thing that's been going on and not changing anything, then you got to get rid of them again.
Exactly. And to kind of go along with that, don't let the movement or the anger subside. Once the election is over, don't stop. We've got their attention that people are upset, and they're finally starting to pay a little bit more attention to us. That's why a lot of things, like even in the city of Eugene, Lane County, for example, I'll give you just a quick example. There's a land use issue going on over there's any water, stream, or whatever that leads to the Willamette River. There's a new ordinance that has been proposed, and notices have already gone out, that there has to be a 200-foot area on both sides that is untouchable. You can't mow it, you can't develop, you can't do anything. And there has been people that have a ditch, even the ditch that isn't filled with water half the time, have been getting these notices that they can't do anything on 200 feet on either side of that ditch, because the ditch ultimately leads to the Willamette River. These people showed up at the city council meeting the other day, and they were furious. They canceled the meeting early because of the unruly crowd, and they decided to table it until after the November elections. We got to keep this energy going, folks, and remind those so-called representatives that they are our servants, not the other way around.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the Tea Party does, if they keep if they remain active or not.
Exactly. In fact, they're still trying to smear the Tea Party, and it's just not working. In fact, something that you probably wouldn't hear too much of, that clip we put together before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go ahead and play that?
Sure.
Okay. This is something that you wouldn't hear a candidate say regarding a president before this administration, in my opinion.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
Very exciting day, as President Obama will be in Rhode Island today. Front page of this morning's Providence Journal says Obama won't endorse Caprio during the Rhode Island visit.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I've never asked President Obama for his endorsement. And what's going on here is really Washington insider politics at its worst. You have two former senators, Senator Chafee and former Senator Obama, who, you know, have behind the scenes tried to, you know, put together an endorsement for Senator Chafee. And, you know, who knows, maybe there'll even be one coming. But I never asked for President Obama's endorsement. It's at its worst. We weren't asking for an endorsement. This is really just a backhanded way for him to, you know, for him to do his own agenda here when it comes to what's going on in Rhode Island. So that's fine by me. Like I said, he can take that and show that we're going to continue to speak directly to the people of Rhode Island about what's important, and that's bringing the state back by having a strong economy and not playing these insider backroom Washington politics.
How many other candidates would you know that would just tell the president to shove it?
Well, not many, and there's been a lot of discussion on the radio and on television about the fact that that's really a kind of a blunt way of saying something. But when you get right down to it and you look at what took place there, Obama stated that he's not going to endorse this person for and nobody asked him to.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that was just his way of bad-mouthing him. So for this guy to tell him to take his job and shove it, I don't mind that. There's needs to be other ways of doing it, and we don't want everybody having open house on telling people off. But I don't blame the guy.
I agree with you there. I mean, don't disrespect the office, and you don't need to disrespect the person. But to remind them what their function is, why they were elected there in the first place, and to listen. It is not a dictatorship. It's not supposed to be that, but in a lot of respects, even locally here, it is a dictatorship. For example, Oregon legislature has put together a law, passes it, and they will come out and tell you, if you don't like it, you get enough signatures to go ahead and let people vote on it. That, to me, seems backwards.
Well, there are some things some laws that we need to change, but I agree. They shouldn't be allowed to put the onus on the individual citizen to go out and get how many thousands of signatures there are for everything.
Well, yeah, if we do put something on the ballot, or we go ahead and vote something in, like Oregon's the assisted suicide law, for example. How many times did we vote on that?
I don't know. I wasn't here.
Three times. And because each time a judge ruled that it was unconstitutional, or we didn't know what we were voting for.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I think everything should be voted on. I mean, it would have to be. That's not true either, because every time somebody wants to buy pencils in the Senate, then they got to have a vote to.
Well, everything be voted, expenses be voted on if it's over a certain expense, over a certain.
Actually, I disagree. Let's make everything. Let's make them vote on everything. That way they can't get anything around us.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but they actually tried that.
Oh, really?
At least locally in Eugene. And the negative campaign ads came out and says, we're going to go out and buy a box of paper, and we need to put that to the vote of the people.
Great. Great. The thing is, you're going to be without paper until we vote on it. So that's fine. I just, you know, that means that they got to think ahead. They got to plan. And once they buy their box of paper, they better make it last.
Well, and that's the other thing. Real quick here, we got 5 minutes remaining
oh, wow.
in the show. Again, know, if you'd like to call in, there's plenty of time, 646-721-9887. When you call, you can listen to the show, by the way, on that number. And when you like decide you'd like to participate, just press the number one key on your touchpad, and a little hand will come up on my board with your phone number and area code, and I'll say, welcome, area code so-and-so, welcome to the show. If you've never called a talk show before, this is a good way to try it out, and you might actually find this kind of fun. Anyways, 4 minutes remaining. There's still time, but...
I keep reiterating, 10%. 10%. That isn't much. That we could cut everybody's salary, and that would solve the problem. I don't want to fire people. We've got, and I think we should, to be honest with you, get right down to it, because this legislative administration committee, admin committee, has 93 people on that are working for it. There's no necessity for that.
Well, we can fire people starting this November, and we should fire people.
I don't want to fire people, because you fire people and then you've got
your vote.
Well, these are not voted in people.
No, but I'm talking about the people that we can fire, the ones that are supposed to be our representatives.
Oh, yes.
We can fire them.
But we're not really. See, we're not really firing them. We're replacing them.
We're retiring them.
See, the point is that position is still being paid for.
Right.
Whether it's this guy or somebody else. So that's a little different story. But these people that are just hired, that are regular employees, they would be fired and simply out of a job. And I don't want to put everybody out of a job. Our unemployment is already high enough. And when we put them out of a job, then we just have to pay them for doing nothing, which probably half of them are doing already.
Right.
But it's just, if we could just cut the salaries of everybody, I don't care who it is, absolutely everybody, we could cut the salaries of everybody, including the president. I mean, he doesn't need that money.
No, in fact, didn't he say at one point, how much is enough money? I don't remember the exact quote.
I remember something about that. I don't remember the situation.
But, yeah.
The president makes $400,000 a year. So even if they cut his income by $40,000, 10%, $360,000, I could live on that.
Yeah.
And because especially since that doesn't count his expenses. He gets paid extra for his expenses. So, by the way, the legislators and such people I was talking about, how much money they make, they get paid for their expenses too. So that's not just how much money they make. There's more to it than that. It just we're paying people way too much. And way too many of them. Ultimately, we've got, through attrition, we've got how many people, too. But just firing them just puts more strain on the unemployment.
Well, the comment is, I do think that at a certain point, you've made enough money.
Oh, yeah. And now I understand that it's higher, and $60,000 would be... the mean be, I don't know if I want to call it average, but $60,000 should do it. $60,000 to $100,000 a year. Anything over that is not necessary. And I don't mind people making that. And I understand that, what I want to call it, the normal people. They make more money than that. We've got to be. We don't have to be that competitive.
Right.
We just don't have to be that competitive.
Well, anyways, we're out of time. Again, thank you for our guests for sticking through, and we'll be back next Friday, same time, 10 p.m. Pacific.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. 10 p.m. 10 p.m.
Bye.
sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.